Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Girl, you got that sexy beast. You're just so sexy. Are you a Loch Ness Monster? Or are you Bigfoot, cryptid, supernatural vampires, banshees, Tony and Jago? Oops, there's that Wendigo. Hey, 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 come on after me. Who the fuck said you could laugh at me, smack with me? With a Bigfoot dick you could slap with me? Blasphemy. You could dare come at me with a Bigfoot dick and Loch Ness Monster pussy? Wait, baby, sexy beast.
Hello there and welcome back to Sexy Beasts, your friend to the Menagerie Unexplained. Now, normally what we do in the show, as you know, is we rate and review sexy creature cryptids, monsters, weird things of the occult, and we give them a little rating, and we talk about them fighting, and we talk go in detail on the research. But you know what? Mark Jago, I have not sat across from you in about 2 months. It's been 2 months.
Yeah, 2 months, yeah.
Since we were last doing this.
You're off fluttering around in Edinburgh.
I was pulling the flute off myself and got arrested in Edinburgh. No, that's not what happened. But yeah, it's been a while. So I thought, what we do, look, I'm even talking too enthusiastic for how I want this episode to be. I'd love to be just casual. Do you know what I mean? Now, I don't know about you, Jacob, but I have a bit of a cold and I want you to feel sorry for me. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think like a tiny little cold is enough. Yeah. Before you recorded this, Tony came upstairs wheezing. He's like, man, sorry, I'm a bit out of breath.
I'm a bit out of breath. Yeah. And why did that offend you, Mark Jago?
Because about a month ago, I was walking to work and my lung just popped.
Pop third that lung. I'm going to show you how to make your man breathe.
I can
do better than that.
Like,
I won't.
Like dirty pop. Justin Timberlake wasn't there to soothe my woes. But yeah.
That's your fucking ling.
Yeah. Don't do anything. But
I didn't do anything. No, I meant to say lung. Your lung popped.
Well, it collapsed. It's the full name.
Yeah, you said pop, so don't correct me.
The full name. How dare you say something that I said?
Yeah, just repeated you.
The correct term is a primary spontaneous pneumothorax.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Pneumothorax sounds like a cool dinosaur.
Yeah. It's like, oh, and here we have the pneumothorax.
Oh, Beast Wars.
Yeah. So basically, for pneumothorax is, there's these things on the top, really technical here.
Yeah.
There's a thing at the top of your lungs that some people get called blebs. So the head of respiratory care was talking to me. He's like, and he drew a little diagram, and it was like, here's all your blebs. And I was like, what's a bleb? And he's like, well, basically, it's a bubble at the top of your lung that you get if you grow, like if you're tall. Yeah. Fucking H is back.
It's fine. You haven't spoken in a while.
Yeah. If you're tall, thin, and skinny, you get these things. It's from growth spurts and stuff. Basically, it's like weakening of the top of the lung. It popped when I was walking to work.
Shit.
All the air filled in. Like leaked into my lung, and the pressure difference made my lung sort of crumple up. Yeah,
like a Coke can.
But apparently, I've had it a couple of times. But
I thought when he showed you, look, these are your blebs, and then you'd look really close at the thing, and then it would smash your head into the thing, making stuff up. That's what I do if I was a doctor.
Yeah, I think that's in the Hippocratic Oath.
It is.
You're allowed one prank per month,
and you have to you inflict violence so that you keep yourself in employment.
Yeah,
you know, come here, and you smash someone's head. Right, let me fix that for you.
As we all know, that most doctors are also serial killers.
It's true. That'd be a good show. And then what? Yeah, and then Mark Jago, how long were you in the fucking hospital?
I was in the hospital for 3.5 weeks.
Jesus Christ!
Yeah. So basically, when I went into the emergency room, and they were like, I went in, I signed up, I signed up for
sure.
Subscribed to the emergency room.
Yeah.
And then they brought me into the back and they did all the tests, you know, like to check blood pressure, oxygen levels, blood tests, whatever like that. And by the way, just to preface the story, I'm terrified. I was terrified of needles.
What's the name of that phobia? You should know that. You normally know those words.
Inshallophobia.
Yeah, spot on.
But I was terrified. I got my blood test, had to like turn away and like bite onto my own hand because I was so scared of needles.
God.
And then they were like, okay, we'll call you in when the doctor's ready to see you. So they sent me back out. Before I'd even my arse touched the seat in the waiting room, a doctor ran out and was like, right, come on, we're going to go to get an x-ray for you. I went to get an x-ray and then they were just talking to me like, hey, we did an x-ray. Did your GP said anything to you? I was like, oh, well, the GP said I might have some indigestion or something like that. And then I realized they were walking me into the resource department.
Fuck.
And I was like, and there's all the red signs and all the doctors are in their like scrubs and gears. And then I was like, so what's going on? I was like, well, basically, yeah, your lungs collapsed. So what we're going to do now is insert a chest tube into you.
A chest tube or a test tube?
I keep saying test tube and it's like, like all these little test tubes. This won't help your lung, but...
But we can grow babies on you.
We're making these some sort of like hive creature.
Some sort of, what's it called? That new Hideo Kojima film.
Death Stranding.
Death Stranding.
Well, I've watched 30 minutes of that and I didn't even realize. It looks like a walking simulator.
It looks insane. We can talk about that later.
Anyway, so the test chest tube. So it was this little thing that was called pig's tails valve.
Right.
So they lay me down and they were like digging into me with their fingers and they were counting along like my intercostal muscles.
Jesus, as you know so much now about your body.
Man, it's the worst because the internet is the best and the worst thing because I googled everything and what the worst scenario could be.
What was your percentage of death?
With this pneumothorax, pretty minimal, but it could escalate to something called a tension pneumothorax, which is like basically all the pressure in your lung goes out and it sucks your heart over to the other side.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's
like Picasso job.
Yeah, it's terrible. And it can like, it sucks all the blood from one side of your body to the other because there's all pressure build. But anyway, so they put it in my chest. I was fucking loopy as fuck. They gave me loads of like morphine and stuff. But the cannula in my arm broke while they were giving it to me. So my like wrist or my elbow swelled up purple. Anyway, so they did put it in me. And then they were like, all right, we're going to send you up to a ward. So they sent me up to a ward. Now, God load everyone at ward. It was a short stay ward. Like, they're all sick, and I appreciate that they're all sick. But my God, I think they literally just chose the loudest people ever to put in one ward.
Really? In the respiratory ward?
Yeah. No, this was before the respiratory ward. This was the short stay ward. So they're all screaming, and like, a lot of them were here for like ingrown toenails and mad shit like that.
Whoa.
Yeah, and they were like screaming, and I was just like, I was just a bit sort of anxious, and I was in a hospital gown, had no clothes. They wouldn't let anyone see me for ages. And eventually they let people in. I got changed into clothes and then there's a new thing in hospital, by the way. So they have to check you for what's called MRSA or like that super bug. So they have to swab your mouth, cheek, nose, your anus and your
mouth, rectum, scrotum, anus.
Yeah, and your mouth, anus, rectum, crotch, mark.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
And it's mad how they do your rectum and your anus. They have to swab it twice.
Twice, yeah, because like your anus is in your rectum. But they have to do your crotch as well, either side of your crotch.
Oh, yeah?
So
that'd be tiddly.
So this nurse comes in, and he's this lad nurse, and he's from the country, and he's a fucking soundest lad ever. He's just like,
cool.
What's the crack? How are you? Like, and I'm like, oh, man, I'm grand. And he's talking like, oh, he's gone or whatever. And then he's like, oh, we're just going to send the nurse to swab your crotch and your anus. And I was like, to be honest, I was in such like a weird mood. I was like so I just didn't care what happened. I was like, oh grand, this lad's gonna swab my anus, that's fucking grand, whatever. In walks this like lovely old lady, like so old, so nice and just so sweet. And then she's like, oh, I'm just gonna run this along your crack now. And I was like, I was trying not to laugh, and then Like, do you know those sort of situations where you say like really uncomfortable things to try and break the tension? Like,
yeah.
And I was just like, I was like, oh, I won't let my, I said, I won't let my wife know about this.
So you kind of embodied some 60s Catskills comedian.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, oh, don't tell my wife about this.
Ghoul.
Yeah, ghoul.
Pulling on your tongue.
Yeah, yeah. Or was it, what's his, your man from Caddyshack?
Rodney Dangerfield.
Rodney Dangerfield. He's like, oh, don't tell my wife about this. And she's like, oh, how long has he been married?
And I want you to buy me dinner first.
Yeah, and I was like, yeah, exactly. That sort of thing. Yeah. I was like, how long have you been married for? And then I was like, I'm not married. I just said that. And then she was like, she went and then she was talking to the sound male nurse. And the sound male nurse, and they were just pointing and looking at me, and I was just sitting there. By the way, I have
to... Did you see that cunt? He's a liar. He's after fucking lying to me. That's what she was saying.
And at the time...
That cunt's after lying to me about his dead wife.
He told me he was a widowed.
Yeah, did a nasty nick on me.
And at this time, I have a little valve dangling that looks like a little pig's tail in a glass tube.
Jesus,
and
when it wheeze?
When I breathe out, it goes... It looks like...
My God.
Do you know what it looks like? It looks.
They just put that on you for fun. Let's see what we can stick on this cunt.
It looked like the neck of a whoopee cushion.
Whoopee cushion, yeah.
And they said, all right, we'll get this out of you. You'll be going home tomorrow. You'll be back at work on Monday. So mm-hmm. This was on Thursday. And I was like, yeah, fine, for whatever. So they sat me down. And then this nurse called Vinny. She was just a lovely nurse. I think she was telling me she's from India. She came over here. And she... was literally just, she came in, she hated everyone else in the ward. I'm going to say this now, but the nurses were just like the best person ever, and or best people ever. And she came in, she'd chat to me for ages, she'd close the curtains, pretend she was doing some sort of blood test on me and just talk to me for ages.
Because
she knew I was nervous, and I had to keep getting cannulas, you know, the lines in.
Yeah.
I had to get four or five of them. And then, I'm not scared of needles now, but all right. Mm. And then they took it out and they said, all right, we'll give you 24 hours, just normal, and we'll see how it is. I was ready to go. I packed up. I put my shoes on. I was ready to go at the end of 24 hours. The doctor comes rushing in and just goes, oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, you're going to have to go back and your lungs collapsed again. It's actually gotten worse.
Oh, God.
And I was like, what the fuck? And I was like really stressed. I was like, what the fuck? So then I was like, okay, I'll go back to sleep and yada, yada, yada. And then just, this was about like 8 o'clock at night. Visitors were coming in to visit people, obviously. And two surgeons walk in. And they're like, okay, we're just going to do a chest tube into you now. And I was like, okay, same as last time. It wasn't that bad. It was pretty intense. And then two more nurses came in. And then an orderly came in. And so one of the nurses hooked up a new cannula, pumped me full of morphine. And I was like, this isn't so bad. And they injected local anesthetic into me. Mm. And I was like, this isn't so bad. And then... they told me to grab the side of the bed, turn over, and like grab like on my, so my side is facing up in the air.
Mm.
And then they cut into me and I couldn't feel anything. And then the pressure started. So you could feel like the needle was the size of like a thick pen.
Oh my God.
And you can feel it popping as it goes through your, this is actually disgusting. This should be a freak encounter.
Yeah.
As it goes through each layer of muscle. And you can feel your
ribs, skin, muscle, skin, fat, muscle,
and you can feel them spreading apart your rib.
Ah!
I know I'm not exaggerating. This is the most unimaginable pain I've ever felt in my life.
Ah!
And it was I'm not ashamed to say it. Like it was tears pumping out my eyes.
Oh, I'd say so.
And I was actually asking them to stop. Like, please stop. Like it was such an like, and then. It was over. It was like, it was a good 10, it was 15 minutes at max. Mm. And then the doctors got to shake my hand. And I was like, I fucking hate you lads. And
give you Paul Hollywood.
Yeah, your man, his name is Hugh. He was actually such a sound lad, a doctor in the end. But I was looking at him and he was like, oh man, I'm sorry about that. Like, and then he was talking to me. He's like, yeah, I haven't done many of them. I was like,
oh fuck, they shouldn't have fucking, Jesus.
He was good lad. But then, all right, so I'm like, physically and mentally drained from this. They open the curtains and the fucking whole room is full of visitors and there's no one there to see me because I was getting it done or whatever, and I'm there, I'm topless, there's blood pumping all over the bed and I'm just there, and then a lad across me, some mad Dublin lad, goes, oh, that sounded a bit rough, didn't it? And and all his bloody like visitors started howling laughter, like haha, and I'm there fucking just wet,
fucking haven't been ravaged.
Yeah, but then this nurse this doctor comes in and goes, oh, this is the guy who's getting the thoracic chest tube in. Oh, I missed it. Oh, darn. And then the nurse just like turned to the doctor and was like, will you just please leave? Like,
oh, fucking hell.
So anyway, that's horrible. But the worst thing was,
what?
It was stuck to suction and the suction was like 5 feet away on the wall. So I couldn't move for 5 days out of...
literally tethered to the wall.
Literally tethered to the wall. And they gave me like tablets because I was on a load of opiates, which are fucking unreal, by the way. Like, I know there's a huge crisis in America about the opiates, but like...
Yeah, but we can't buy them over the counter here, so yeah, happy days.
That's fair enough, yeah. But and they give me loads of tablets to unconstipate me. This is actually really gross. Sorry, I'm just like...
Unconstipate you?
Opioids make you so constipated, like crazy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so they give you loads of tablets. It was about 2 days into it, and I hadn't shit in 2 days. And then they were like, all right, it's visiting time. Everyone's visited here. And all my visitors turned up. And then I was like, oh, my God. 2 days worth of shit is going to come out of me right now. And by the way, I can't move.
Yeah.
So I had to go for shit. And the room is full of people. I'd say there's about 30 people in the room.
No.
And I had to call the nurse and say out loud, nurse, can I have a commode? And she brings over a commode. And I just closed it.
A bigger commode.
A bigger commode. I need more. I need Mark Kermode. And so now I have no fear. I'm the man with no fear.
Fucking hell. So you've got overcoming fear, shitting in public, needles, being held down and having your lung fucking inserted with a massive needle.
Yeah.
Isolation is another one, probably.
Isolation, yeah. You start to go a bit mad. Luckily, I had my tablet and I watched everything Netflix. And you know, best Netflix show by far, like, and this is slept on and not many people have known it.
Friends.
Call the Midwife.
Call the Midwife.
Yeah, it's absolutely like I know it's terrible, but I want to live back in 1950s East End London. Poplar.
Really,
I love it. I watched five seasons in the hospital. And,
wow.
And yeah, because I was there, like the pain was so intense because it's a big like rubbery tube in your chest and you can't move, so they give you insane amount of painkillers. Like, now this is the first chest tube or second chest tube. So after they took that out, it collapsed again. They were like, oh, whoops. So respiratory turned to me and they're like, listen, not more we can do. We're going to send the big boys in. So they send in the cardiothoracic, which are the people who operate on heart and lungs.
Right, yeah.
And these were no nonsense, absolute fucking like mavericks. They were Top Gun.
Yeah.
Walk this. Her name's Joanne. I don't know her second name was. She walks in and she's a nice like surgeon. She's in her blue gear and she's like, well, you have a choice here. We knock it out. Do another chest tube, another 5 days. And I was like, what's the chances of it happening again? She says, pretty big. She's like, or what we do is we do an operation on you, cut you open in three places, like keyhole surgery.
Yeah.
And then same thing, you've been on the chest tube, but the chances of it happening again are pretty slim. So I was like, you were there, actually, were you?
Yeah, I was there when you got told. Yeah.
So the next day, the head of cardiothoracic, Mr. Ryan, comes in, which I never understand. So you study for so long to become a medical doctor.
Yep.
And then the next step up from a medical doctor is a mister.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I don't understand it. Like, it's you're mister if you're a layman, then doctor, and then a mister, but like you have to be called mister, so they're like Mr. Ryan to him.
Ooh.
Mr. Ryan. But he walked in.
Maybe mister stands for something else when you're up that high.
Master race.
Yeah. Well, also, I found funny, Jago, when I was sitting there with you and... the doctor came in and explained that you were going to be getting surgery and explained all what the surgery was and everything like that, and then said, now, you're going to be in a tremendous amount of pain, but you'll be getting a morphine drip.
Yeah.
And then she left and you were like, did you hear that, man? I'm getting morphine. And I'm like, yeah, because she just said that you're going to be in intense pain.
But yeah, she's great. She used to check with me every day. Well, I think she had to be fair. I don't think she's like wanted to be friends with me or anything in the hospital.
No, she was fairly no-nonsense.
But anyway, Mr. Ryan walked in and...
Mr. Ryan is so hot.
He was this tall, sort of foppish D4 lad. Mm. And he was like, he's about like 50, 60. And he walks in and he's like, all right, yeah, we're just going to do a pleurectomy and a bullectomy and on a thoracic fat, a video assisted thoracic. And he said it to me. And then...
you said, English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
I literally turned to him and I was like, sorry, what's that mean? And he's like, literally, we'll just cut three holes in you. You might bleed to death. We might pierce your heart. Like, he went on this list of the worst case scenario.
Yeah, they have to cover that, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, and like, I literally... Then he took out his signature and was like, sign that for me. And I was like, well, what's the worst that can happen? He's like, oh, we can cut through all your nerves on your left, right, on your right-hand side, and you won't be able to feel anything for years.
Well, I presume that anything that's a potential risk of surgery is something that has happened before in a surgery.
I think they literally add it to the end of it if something really random happens or whatever. But listen, this has been going on for 23 minutes. So anyway, they do the operation. I mean, a tremendous amount of pain. Have the morphine.
Yep.
Like, they said to me before I went in, like, you'll have a pack, which is a... patient assisted pack, something like that. Patient anesthesia assisted control or something like that, and analgesic. It's pronounced analgesic. And so they give it to you, and they're like, just knock, press it as many times as you want.
Right.
And I was like,
this is the morphine.
Yeah, morphine. And I was like, yeah, that won't. That's, I'm not going to press that at all. Like, oh, I'm just a big tough man.
Yeah.
Woke up, and like, from every 5 minutes, and it makes this really cool, like, video game sound.
Yeah.
Were you there when I was pressing it? It's like, and like, pressing it, and then. I'm telling you, like, I fell asleep and I just missed pressing it, and I woke up and I was like, I had to scramble for it and press it a lot of times.
Oh, wow. Some...
But anyway, so after 4 or 5 days, they took it out, and that was like the most, the waiting was agonizing that they to see. I had so many like little panic attacks, being like, oh, it's back. Oh my God, I can fucking feel it back. And they did like 4 or 5 x-rays to check on it, and they were like, yeah, that's fine. Send you off. Put your slippers on. You're going home. Like, out the door on the Sunday night, out the door, and went to the pharmacy downstairs, got like €110 worth of medicine.
Jesus.
All painkillers.
Wow.
And now, yeah, I'm here.
Are you still on any painkillers?
I am, yeah. Cause
give me them. Give me what you got.
No, they're not good ones. They actually gave me like a fucking huge box of paracetamol tablets as well.
Oh, shit.
But basically, I have the lung capacity of like a really old man now. So when I can't walk places too far, going upstairs is killer. They said it'll, they give me this little tube thing. Did I show you that?
Yeah.
So it's a little tube with 3 balls at the end. And when you blow or suck into it, it'll, the balls will move, and it tells you how wide your lungs are.
Well, look, if you want something proper to, I can give you something so I can make the balls move. If you want to get better.
If you want to get better, just suck my balls.
I didn't say
if
that.
If you want to balls.
I'm just saying, I wouldn't be messing around with that plastic thing. If you, I've got a different instrument that you can suck that you move the balls.
Oh, a nice flute, is it?
Flouting, yeah.
Flouting. But anyway, modern medicine is actually crazy. Like, a lot of people give a stick to like the emergency rooms and waiting rooms.
Mm-hmm.
But if they know that you're really sick,
mm-hmm.
they will move the fucking heaven and earth for you. Like,
yep.
There was a nurse, and I, this day, I was fucking at my lowest. I got, I think, 6 or 7 blood tests that day. And I, no, it was a bit less than that. It was a 4 or 5, sorry. And I'd gotten, like, they had to keep changing cannulas. It was just after my operation, and my cannula, like, loosened, and I had to change it. And I was like, I literally cannot do any more blood tests. I was really, like, I was getting in my head, and I was like, I can't do any more. But, like, and... It's weird that your body reacts it. Like, my veins start, what they call shy veins. Like, my veins all started to, like, sort of, my skin became really, I can't even explain it, but my skin.
Yeah, they kind of disappear from under the surface.
Yeah, exactly. So they sort of shrink in. It was a lot due to dehydration. Your body makes you dehydrate and shit. And this nurse came in, and she was, like, talking to me, and she was like, I'm 20 years experience in neonatal care, like baby care and stuff like that. And she has to put loads of needles in babies. And I'm that's the fucking worst. And she was, as she was talking to me, she was just like rubbing my arm, looking for a vein, something like that. And then she just said, oh, we're done now. And I was like, I looked down, and she had actually put cannula in without me paying attention.
Wow.
And I was like, fucking, the nurses are unreal. Wow. Like,
that's tip top.
Yeah. I made a lot of friends, like, and they were all like, they're all from all over the country. There's a guy from like Carlow who was like actually born in England in the ward. It was really nice. The last day, this woman came in, and I think she was faking it, to be fair.
Really?
Yeah. And then she kept asking the nurse to scratch her back. Like, she pressed the emergency button, and the nurses would run around the corner.
Ah, fuck
and
that.
To scratch her back.
Don't be exploiting that shit. Well, Jago, look, did you. One question.
Yeah.
Do you have any kind of a new appreciation for your freedom and your life and your health?
I wouldn't say I was like not confident before. Like, I talk a lot of shit, but there is times I get really nervous about things.
Mm-hmm.
But. Like, I've started walking up to people and randomly talking to them on the street.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird. Like, it's just like, so someone was buying something the other day.
And, scars.
No, I was buying some Tesco, and then I was like, oh, they're really nice or something. And then as I walked away, I was like, that's kind of weird. But then I was like, why was it weird? It's the humor interaction.
I think
it was because I was like, literally, I wasn't quarantined. Like, I could talk to the people beside me and stuff like that.
Mm.
But it was, I was just so isolated that the only person
I could talk. Completely out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, exactly. But now, like, after the chest tube, I've lost a lot of fear, and there is, like, every so often, like, I woke up the other night and I thought I had my lung collapse, and I stood up and I was just in panic sweat, and I just took a deep breath and I was like, your lung's not collapsed. You know what a lung collapse feels like. It's not happening to you. So I sat down, and it gives you more tools to deal with. If you've been in a huge accident, it gives you more tools to don't sweat the small stuff, man.
Yeah.
Basically, that's what it all boils down to.
That's great, man. You know what? It scared the shit out of me. I ran straight out of your ward and bought myself some fucking health insurance because scared the fucking shit.
That's the thing as well. Health insurance, lads.
Yep.
The thing is, because I'm a non-smoker.
Mm-hmm.
I'm relatively healthy. Like, I had a
You're active.
active walk around everywhere. I've got a very fast walk, apparently.
You do? Far too fast?
Not anymore, though. I'm a bit old man shuffle.
Sure.
Yeah, so go. And I want to say one thing. Tony put up something saying, send lovely message to Jago. And some of them were obviously like, he has a shit dick and like...
Shit dick.
And he's Tony's, what was it? Tony's sidekick.
Tony's mascot.
Yeah, that was just, cheers for that, lad. Yeah. But
it's always the shit ones that stand out.
But some of the messages I got were so nice.
Yeah, thank you very much, guys, for sending them. They're lovely, your lovely messages.
People I didn't really know actually messaged me saying, like, listen, do you want to... I got offer to send like a care package from Canada. That was lovely. A nurse got in touch with me. Was saying like, how are you getting on? Sort of explained the situation. You know, knew what she was talking about. But it actually touched me a little. I was like, we're two lads who talk shit about monsters on the internet, but
hey, we're a community. Hey, we're family.
Yeah, and to celebrate that, when I'm 100% better, we'll be holding a little house party for some
big style. So this is the big announcement. We are having the Sexy Beast Gaff party.
Yeah,
in the Sexy Beast Gaff, and we're going to be putting tickets on sale in a couple of weeks' time. From when you hear this, we just need to iron out a couple of things. But I'm telling you, man, it's going to be a big old piss up.
It's going to be. It's like we've done podcast shows before, and they're good. What we like is sort of a more interaction between the people. So we're going to be on your level. It's going to be like it's going to be a house party. It's going to be. Excuse me. It's going to be BYOB.
Yeah.
It's going to be BYOG.
Yeah.
Bring your own gear.
Okay. No, okay.
No, I can't say that. Bring your own beer. It's going to be a real relaxed affair. We'll obviously be talking about beasts, but there'll be more crowd interaction.
What I'm thinking we should do, Jago, is I think we should have a proper battle for the beasts. I think we have a lot of very samey, big footy lads in there. And I think we need to fucking sort the men from the boys in there and get some of them. So get some of them guys out. I think we need to cull. I think we need to do a wide cull.
Yeah, we killed one of them last season. So.
And we have never once had people's involvement in the framing of the Premier Crypt. So I want to have a big whiteboard there with the Premier Crypt, like you see in fucking Top Gear. And I want to get this ranking once and for all. Maybe we should have a fan score where people get to just give a score for the fans. And that could change the...
Fex. P-H-F-E-C. Yeah. So that was a half an hour talk about my sexy lung.
Yeah.
Tony, you've been up to some stuff.
I was up to some stuff. You are now looking at Tony Cantwell, expert. You know, they say you go to Edinburgh, Jago, you come back fucking bulletproof. Well, call me RoboCop, you cunt. Sorry, got carried away.
Jesus, you put your feet up in the
I
tail.
I did, yeah.
You got mad into that one, I love that.
I did, yeah. No, I don't think I'm bulletproof, but I tell you, Edinburgh's fun, and it's a fun slog. So
how many shows did you do day after day?
Well, in total, I did 50 shows.
Fucking
in 25,
hell.
25 days. So it was like 24 of my own, 22 Dream Gun, and then two like kind of comps and stuff like that. Which just shows you show up, you're kind of part of a compilation of comedians, and then you do 5 minutes and you're like, hey, come
now
to my show, please.
This is what I call comedy 98.
Yeah, no, this is what that's a comp. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's break it down. What was your highlight, your biggest moment?
My biggest moment. I had a really good, probably the last Saturday show was a sold out one, and then I had a lot of pals coming over from Dublin and London, which was nice. And by then that was like the second last one I had done, so I'd kind of like got my reps in.
Yeah.
So I knew exactly the show. It was tight. I was able to talk to people, because that's the thing. What if I went there? I don't like to completely reveal too much of my insecurities when it comes to performing and comedy. But before going there, I don't think I connected as much. I think I tried to be like, right, there's a stage. I just get to go up there and I just get to do the thing, you know, and that's, I do the show, not necessarily knowing that there's a connection there, that you talk to people and that people communicate their enjoyment with their laughs and their ums and their ahs and things that go along with that. So like there's, without that connection, people are sitting there and they may as well be at the cinema. And if it's a film they're not enjoying, they're going to be fucking talking through the whole thing. But if you make the connection, even if it's something they're going to enjoy it more, but even if it's something they don't enjoy, they're probably not going to fucking talk the whole thing. Because I don't get heckled, but I get some people being like, you fucking just see your man there. And like, having a full-blown conversation, and there is no cool way of being, excuse me.
Yeah, can you stop doing that? Yeah, please.
Stop. You know, I'm like, oh my God, I'm a fucking substitute Irish teacher right now.
Like, I was following a lot of people on, a lot of comedians on Twitter, and some of the stories I was hearing of, like, two drunk lads had nowhere to go, so they bought tickets to, like, a show and fell asleep, like, in front of the...
Yeah. I had four drunk guys, and they were actually turned out to be good crack, which is not a fucking thing I'd even believe I'd say, like, you know, normally I'm like, anyone I thought who wasn't listening or was a bit drunk or inebriated or up for banter, I'd think, right, this is going to completely throw me off, and I'm going to turn into an actual bottle of chilled water live on stage because I'm going to be so nervous. But these lads are great crack. But they, I was asking them, like, what would you call a frigid in Scotland? You know, someone who hasn't kissed anyone before. And they were like, oh, yeah, we have a word for that. Wanker. And I was like, but that's sort of like crack, you know, they can fucking be shouting. And then, like, you know, you can just, then you have fucking stories you can kind of go off the back of that, you know. So it was tremendous fun.
Because you've been called wanker a lot.
I've been called wanker quite a lot.
I know, that was your highlight. What was your, the lowest moment?
The lowest moment, well, I had a show where it was like four people, and there was like literally like a mom and a dad and two kids.
Because your show's pretty blue.
It's kind of blue. It lost a lot of its blueness throughout the run because I've said this before and I'll say it again. I kind of believe when you're crafting a joke, right, that it's like sperm trying to impregnate an egg, right? Yeah. And there's multi layers to it, right? At the center of that egg, right, is a gorgeous, perfectly worded, crafted, clean, gorgeous joke that you just think that is fucking gas. On the outer crust, the very outer crust, is racist jokes.
Yeah.
Kind of like fat shaming jokes, like quick, easy jokes. On the inner core of that is like inappropriate kind of sex jokes. You know, in the inner core of that is like the immersion, flat 7-up and mammy jokes, right? Yeah. So it depends on how, I kind of visualize it. It depends how far the sperm can fight before it gives up and dies, right? If it fights all the way to the egg, then it's going to come with a creative joke. Most people stop at sex and farts and shit, and so do I. But I kind of found, after doing it multiple times, that's just kind of a bit of a crutch, and you can kind of, you know, you can get away with not doing that. Now, I find some of the funniest stuff funny, so I'm still going to talk about fucking how much I want to ride the absolute hoop off Nala the lion.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not. That's not going anywhere.
That's your brand.
That's my brand. I'm a
cat fucker.
Okay, right. Well, I can say it. So there was a ma and a da and two kids, and literally like the da had his fucking arms folded, feet up on the stage.
On the stage. That's pure.
He was up there, and he was like, "Go on, fucking." Go on, monkey, make me laugh. And then there was a bit in the show where I put ham on my face and one of the kids left.
That, you told me about that, yeah. And she left, she came back though, didn't she?
She did come back. And I was kind of like, you could have said something, you know, I'm just going to go to the loo. But then I thought, no, wait, you don't want to interrupt the show saying, hey, I'm going, fucking having a piss.
Yeah, yeah. But it's four of them, like, so did you, like...
You just have to talk
to them. Yeah, you had to talk to them, yeah, yeah.
You can't just be like... Right, I'm going to go into, hey, this is my routine. And hey, do you ever get the way? You can't just be doing that. You
have to, like, who's a frigid here?
Who's a frigid? You are, sir. Little kid, your son is, sir.
Your little son's a frigid.
Your little son's a frigid. Although that is still, frigid is still the funniest thing to call someone in like the 30s. You know, be like, here, you know your man's still a fucking frigid. Like.
That's pretty funny. Anyway, for non-Irish listeners, frigid is someone who hasn't kissed anyone before.
I already said that.
Oh.
No, maybe I didn't.
I'm trying to be more inclusive. That's my new my new year resolution. Be more inclusive to...
It's chat to people in Tesco
who
are scared and be more inclusive.
Man, I said that as a good thing, and it is a good thing. I think we need more human interaction.
I 100% agree.
I would usually just be the person on the bus with my phone down, but now I'm going to be the person be like, ah, look here, would you like a little silk?
Stop it. Don't be going dirty, Michael.
Dirty
on anyone.
Michael on anyone. Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't go chatting to anyone on the bus. I think outside of that, well, look, do what you do. I think it's great.
No. I mean, like, if there's a reason to chat to someone, I'm not going to randomly walk up to someone and be like, because that is like fucking nuts. I think if people just like talk to you for no reason whatsoever. But if someone is like in a shop and they have Battenberg cake in one hand and then like a Swiss roll in the other, I'd be like, hey, Battenberg, that me up, baby.
Okay, well, don't do that either.
I wouldn't do that either. Yeah, I'd be like Swiss roll.
Say, get the Swiss roll.
Yeah,
Clem.
Yeah.
I totally agree. I think we should talk to more people. I found myself to kind of turning into my dad a little bit. You know, you talk, your dad's like chatting to like the waiter or the waitress or whatever, like giving the chat or hands back a plate that's empty. Clearly, he's been like, you know, wiped it with a bit of bread, gotten all the juices out of it. Like, how was it? Oh, shite.
Yeah,
oh,
it's terrible. I want a refund.
Yeah, refund.
Interestingly, I got a taxi.
I love chatting to people now.
I was in a taxi, right? And I was, I put my hand out for a taxi and there was no taxi stopping. Then I hear some lad shouting and he grabs me by the shoulder and he's like, here, there's a taxi for you. I was going to take it, but you can take it. And I was like, that's really nice. And he sends him in and the taxi's like, he's a bleeding mad bastard. That's my brother-in-law. And I was like, oh, grand, fair play to him for giving me a taxi. And he's like, yeah, I was going to drop him back with Temple Oak, but he decided to send you in it. And I was like, that's bad. And then it was a lovely day and he's like, oh, it's a bleeding scorcher. And he goes, yeah, do you ever hear Mick Leach? And I was like, sorry, who's that? And she's like, oh, that was the guy who put you in the taxi. And I was like, he's one of Shamrock Rovers' number one top scorers in the 70s.
What?
And then he played for Ireland for ages as well.
No way.
And we got talking about football and how my dad likes football and I don't really like that football and stuff. And me and the taxi driver had a chat and he pulled over when I was at my destination and we talked for another 5 minutes. And like before I would have just been like, yeah, that's great, mate. Cheers for that.
That's great.
Yeah, he was a real sort of... It's nice to connect to people.
Well, do you know what, Mark Jago? I think you have your book there, you have your pen. I think you should get journaling. I think you should remember your state now as being appreciative and grateful and wanting to interact with people. Because sometimes you can see, habits can make you seep back into whatever.
Oh,
but you're
man.
Changing shit up, like you moved out of your gaff now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Things changing up.
Saving up to buy a house.
Saving up to buy a house. So there's a fucking, you have new habits fucking... on the reg, and you should keep it up. It's great.
I haven't been in work for about a month and a half.
Yeah, happy days.
Yeah,
very good.
Fucking Lady of Leisure still get paid every Friday.
Oh, God. Well, should you be saying, by the way, we're doing this in Jago's bed, by the way.
Yeah.
We're recording this in Jago's bed. He's still, okay. I'm not touching you. Stop it.
That was a little cathartic fart.
There you are now. That's a recap. That's what we've been up to. Might not have always been funny, but now you fucking know.
Yeah.
Some people just want to hear a bit more about us. And about the inner workings of the medical industry.
Yeah, I went on for 23 minutes of talking about me lungs.
Hey, you're fucking well entitled to it, man.
Keep an eye out because we're going to be discussing more about the Sexy Beast.
Sexy Beast Gaff Party!
It's not going to be that many seats, so it's going to be in our office.
In our offices. It's going to be very limited seats, but it's going to be fucking tremendous crack.
Yeah.
Mark Jago, I love you.
I love you, Tony, and I love our listeners.
And I love our listeners, and thank you so much again for reaching out to Jago. We really do appreciate with our beautiful community that we have. And tune in next week where we get back Sister Act 2 in the habit and have a look at our sexy little premiere clip.
Check out Call the Midwife because there's loads of sisters in that as well.
Okay, perfect. And Jago, do you have maybe a nice proverb that you can make up off the top of your head?
Make up off the top of my head. When your lungs are down...
Yeah.
Look,
don't
frown.
Yeah.
You got that sex beast. You're just so sexy. Are you a Loch Ness monster? Or are you Bigfoot, cryptid, supernatural vampires, banshees, Tony and Jago? Oops, there's a Wendigo. Hey, come on after me. Who the fuck said you could laugh at me? Smack with me. With a Bigfoot dick, you could slap with me? Blasphemy. You could dare come at me with a Bigfoot dick and a Loch Ness monster, pussy. Baby, sexy beast.
This has been a Podstuff Headcast Network.